This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 1st, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next matter on the agenda is the report of the Audit Division on the Tennessee Republican Party federal election account. Mr. Stoltz?
Alex can't be with us today, so okay. I'm pinch hitting.
Vice Chair.
I apologize, but as I mentioned this morning, I have to leave now, and so I just can't wait. I apologize. I've talked to Commissioner Bowerly, Vice Chairman Bowerly, about where I think things are going to go, and I assume that's probably the way it's going to be, and if it doesn't, then that's the way the chips fall. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Stoltz?
Final report, Tennessee Republican Party, and we have four findings. The first is a misstatement, which is a two-part finding. Part one has to do with the original reports filed versus amended reports filed. They were off significantly. The committee filed amendments 20 to 75 days later. They objected to this finding because they said they were given advice that it was better to file something than nothing, and though that may be true, I think they still have an obligation to file a complete and accurate report. The second part relates to our audit of the amended reports. Those were also off by smaller amounts, as indicated in the reports. Amended reports have been filed to straighten all these issues out. Contributions from unregistered committees. These sorts of contributions require additional information to assure that are made with permissible funds. That information was lacking. Some had been refunded, though untimely, and when offered the opportunity to demonstrate that the contributions were made with permissible funds or to make refunds, they chose to make refunds. Third issue had to do with possible coordinated expenditures. It deals with a direct mail program on behalf of the party Senate candidate. Party had no coordinated spending limit left since they had assigned it to the National Committee. The mail program was more than $700,000 and was questioned based on the content and the use of the same vendor as the candidate for similar mail programs. However, the committee contended that the mail program qualified for the volunteer materials exemption. If that were the case, the other two questions were moot. Based on the guidance provided by Commission actions on this sort of issue in the past, the interim audit report requested the committee demonstrate that sufficient volunteer involvement existed to qualify for the exemption. In response, the committee explained how the volunteers were involved in the mailing. Based on Commission previous decisions, that involvement would have not been sufficient. However, after the interim audit report was approved, the Commission considered similar circumstances in Murray 5598, Utah Republican Party. In that case, the Commission neither accepted nor rejected the claim that a volunteer exemption, but noting the complicated history of this provision, decided not to pursue the issue as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, while noting the need for further guidance in the area. Based on that decision, the report concludes that there is no need for any further action by the committee. And the final issue had to do with disclosure of salary and wages and the need for records to support how various staff members spent their time. Those records were lacking. They were able to produce some affidavits for some, of their employees, and for the remainder, they filed a minimum report showing them as federal activity. None of this caused the committee to overfund from the non-federal account.
Thank you for that presentation. Any discussion or any questions? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to move it along since we're here late in the day and cut to the chase. The basis of my objection was on the what I'll call the volunteer mail finding, which is finding three, titled apparent coordinated party expenditures. A couple thoughts. First, in the discussion in the audit report on page 11 at the bottom, where it talks about the coordination rule, content and conduct, which is correct, and it talks about the content standard, but then it concludes that these pieces meet the content standard since the disbursements were for a public communication that expressly advocated the electorate defeat of a clearly identified candidate for federal office. But then it says, although there was no language such as vote for defeat or defeat in the material, the audit staff determined that it could only be interpreted by a reasonable person as containing advocacy of the election of Bob Corker for Senate or the defeat of Harold Ford Jr. For example, one of the direct mail pieces contains a picture of Bob Corker and discusses his plan for securing the borders and cracking down on illegal immigration on one side. The other side is a picture of his opponent and states, among other things, too bad, liberal congressman. Harold Ford is all talk, no action on illegal immigration. Another direct mail piece pictures Congressman Ford and notes that when he, quote, did show up to vote, he voted against the recent tax cuts for Tennessee families. The piece also states that he is, quote, Tennessee's most liberal congressman. To me, setting aside whether or not 100.22b is still good law and all that, circuit courts have struck it down. The commission's perpetually tied up in knots on it. As with virtually anything else, I'm always happy to have that discussion, but I'm not sure folks want to have it this time of day. To me, an easier way to get there is to use, I think, the reference standard within a certain time window. It seemed like this mail piece was all pretty close to this material was all delivered pretty close to the election. That's another one of the content prongs in the coordination reg. The reason why it's really not that big a deal is I think the committee had sufficient volunteer involvement, and once that happens, it really moots out whether or not it was coordinated. It makes it not an impermissible coordinated expenditure. So for me, that paragraph in the audit report ought to reflect a little bit different legal analysis. If others disagree, to me, the pieces in question are issue pieces. They're not express advocacy, even under 100.22b. I guess reasonable people can disagree, and that's why the reasonable person test has not fared all that well in various courts that have considered it. But setting that all aside, the real punchline is I think that there's sufficient volunteer involvement here. Curious as to the citation to MER 2559, which I think was from 1983. I guess the MER database is much easier to search, so I guess the 1983 MERs are easier to find than other documents. And then the 2288 MER, years and years ago, before technology changed, and really before the commission in a number of MERs revisited the issue of volunteer mail, not just the Utah Republican Party MER, but I think the Missouri Dems and the Pennsylvania Dems lay out some guidance. The Utah Republican Party MER is one in which I was recused, but there. Majority of the commission said that they would issue some guidance. We've put together a policy statement some time ago. It hasn't moved yet. It's the time of year where people are really going to start doing this, and to the extent we think we need to give people guidance, we probably ought to, because without, Mr. Chairman, mixing apples and oranges on the agenda, the next item up on the agenda also raises volunteer mail, but it seems like the language in the audit report treats that differently. I'm sure there's an innocent reason for that, but reading it with the cold eye just on the record, it seems like we're treating similarly situated party committees differently in that the next item on the agenda acknowledges that the law is not particularly clear. So we have the auditors telling us the law is not particularly clear. So that means we probably need to provide some guidance, hopefully sooner rather than later. But for me, it's volunteer mail finding. It's the express advocacy discussion I think can be swapped out for the other content prong, which I believe is satisfied, and the discussion of the MERS. I think we should beef it up a little bit and include the other MERS that are on the issue because I think those are relevant. Creates the false impression, I think, not intentional, but I think a reader who reads this cold could make it look like the law was one thing and then just recently, you know, within the past year, the commission did something different. This was a long time in coming. It was a series of MERS before most of the voting commissioners in the Utah Party were even, Utah Republican Party were even on the commission. So that's a long way of saying I can support the rest of the audit report, but if we could modify that finding in those matters in that way and find that this was a sufficient volunteer component, therefore not an excessive coordinated, that's my preference. Others may disagree, and then I could anticipate an easy fallback motion to move it into the other issues section.
I too support that motion. I agree that I think on the express advocacy can always be kind of a thorny bush into which to dive, and I think that there's a much easier way to get there on the 109.21 and of our regulations, C4, which refers to public communications that reference a federal candidate within 90 days of a congressional election. I think that's none of us are going to disagree on that, and so that may just to swap the discussions, I think that that would be helpful and avoid a potential point of contention. And I too agree that that under especially the Missouri Democratic Party and Pennsylvania Democratic Party MERS, that the volunteer component in this that was undertaken by the Tennessee Republican Party was sufficient to qualify for the exemption. And and for that reason, I'd be willing to support that motion as well. Commissioner Weintraub.
Mr. Chairman, I can support half of it. I'm certainly happy to swap out the coordination analysis, which that's fine, but and easier. Easy's good. I think this case is closest to the Utah Republican case than it is to the Missouri or the Pennsylvania case. And in the Utah case, we didn't actually determine that it was sufficient. We dismissed on prosecutorial discretion. And I probably would not be willing to say that this was sufficient either, but, you know, we can move it to additional issues. It's late. I don't want to have a protracted argument about it.
Commissioner McGann.
I that's what I was anticipating. You know, I kind of read the MER and I read the facts, and I can see why the auditor cited to Utah because it is somewhat similar. I didn't vote in Utah. As I said, I was recused. I didn't actually represent that state party, just so the public record's clear. The public record shows I represented the mail vendor who produced printed up the mail and was involved in getting the volunteers to do it. But for me, this audit, this is enough. These volunteers touched every mail piece. They applied nonprofit indicia postage to the various mail pieces. To me, that's enough. Technology has eliminated a lot of the role for traditional volunteers as far as sorting and that sort of thing. You really can't show up at the post office with mail so that you sort it yourself. You really have to let machines do it nowadays. And what I would hate to have happen is that folks who do it this way can't, but those who actually, in my view, do less volunteer component, which not to, again, mix up the agenda items, but the next audit, they don't seem to have a lot of volunteer component. But to me, the Democratic Pennsylvania committee and the Democratic Missouri, I don't think that had a lot of volunteer component, but it's sufficient. I think this is actually more volunteer component than those MERS. But we've had this discussion before, and reasonable people can have reasonable disagreements, and I think this is one of those cases. But I hope we can come up with something that we can agree on so people in this election cycle trying to do this and involve volunteers in the political process somehow know what they can and can't do without some specificity, because we don't want folks doing it one way and another way and then after the fact in a MER judging who did it right and who did it wrong based upon, you know, a patchwork quilt of MERS. So maybe that's for a future day, but I anticipated where you'd be coming from, so that's why I kind of already indicated support for the fallback.
Move away.
So if you to clarify, the fallback would
thank
be
you. Doesn't get a little hoarse.
Okay, no problem. The fallback is to which I believe we all have an agreement on, the coordination analysis to, instead of using express advocacy prong, use the reference prong. And then with respect to the volunteer mail component, that basically we have a stripped-down discussion consistent with the way we discussed the volunteer mail component in the Washington Democratic Party audit, which consisted really of not really making a fine legal point on anything, just I think it was a description of the facts and then a conclusion that
it speaks for itself.
That there's confusion and a lack of clarity in this area of the law.
Just one point of discussion.
Commissioner McGann.
Any chance we make a finding that the pieces in this audit were not express advocacy?
I thought we just heard that nobody could disagree that they fell into the that other prong of the coordination rule. So why do we need to do that?
Because the content prong is different prongs. One thing I didn't mention earlier when you said we didn't have a coordination rule all cycle, we do, because express advocacy is year-round, right?
That is true.
Right?
That is true.
And then with primaries and all that, the windows were kicking around for a good part of this year. This is the reference of federal candidate within a certain time period, whereas the express advocacy prong, the auditors are taking the position that these mail pieces constitute express advocacy. I'm asking any takers on finding that this is not express, that these are not express advocacy. Doesn't change the coordinated mail, the coordination analysis conclusion. Doesn't change volunteer. No, it's just that particular thing. Any takers?
Seems irrelevant then.
So it's moot. Just irrelevant. They'll have to make a finding.
Well, I thought we had just agreed we weren't going to make a finding on that because we were going to substitute.
Okay,
the
I was just late in the day. I thought maybe, you know.
Not that tired.
Okay.
Does everyone understand the motion, Vice Chair?
Does the motion include adopting the other findings? I'm just trying to understand where we're going here.
Yeah, I don't think that was actually stated.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
I just assumed it, and yeah, I'm sorry. And adopt the remainder of the other report.
May I just clarify? So we're going to adopt the remainder, all of the findings except the one with respect to volunteer materials. It will be moved to additional issues and modified as described here at the table. Is that what is happening?
Right. And with respect to the other findings, you do this in a format consistent with the policy we just adopted.
Yes.
All right. This is all new to us. Sorry.
Okay.
You understand? Does that make sense? Clear as mud.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Yes, you will. As a matter of fact.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.